though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24:12-13. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The very atmosphere is polluted with sin. Soon God's people will be tested by fiery trials, and a great proportion of those who now appear to be genuine and true will prove to be as base metal. Instead of being strengthened and confirmed by opposition, threats, and abuse, they will cowardly take the side of the opposers. The promise is, them that honor me, I will honor. Already the judgments of God are brought in the land, as seen in the storms, in the floods, in the tempests, in the earthquakes, in the hijacking, as the attempted hijacking, in the perils by land and by sea. The great I Am is speaking to those who make void his law. When God's wrath is poured out upon the earth, who will then be able to stand? Now is the time for God's people to show themselves true to principle. When the religion of Christ is most held in contempt, when his law is most despised, then should our zeal be the warmest and our courage and firmness the most unflinching. To stand in defense of truth and the righteousness when the majority forsake us, to fight the battles of the Lord when champions are few, this will be our test. At this time we must gather warmth from the coldness of others, courage from their cowardice, and loyalty from their treason. The captain of our salvation will strengthen his people for the conflict in which they must engage. Now is the time when we should closely connect with God, that we may hid when the fierceness of his wrath is poured upon the sons of men. All who will gather warmth from the coldness of others, courage from their defection, and loyalty from their treason will triumph with the third angel's message.
Once again, it give us an opportunity. Once again, Father, being the Lord of the living today, we're most grateful and thankful. And we pray, Father, what is said and done today will be done to your name's honor and glory. We pray for those that are listening today, that your spirit will continue to strive with man just a little while longer as we see the world is in chaos. But Father, we realize that you are in control. And when you say things will be how you want them to be, then they will be that way. Until then, Father, we hope and pray that we continue to be in the faith and let nothing shake us out of the faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to say a special welcome to those of you who may be listening to us for the first time, and even a special welcome to those who always listen to Turning Point program at this time. Our study this afternoon is basically going to be the world in chaos. Are there solutions to those problems that we see? If you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. And I must say, at our website, you can find the email address of Brother Paul, Brother Renrick, and myself, Brother Julian. And you can email each of us individually if you have questions or comments you want to present to us. Now, if you don't know, we will be having a live two-hour call-in show on September the 11th. That's September 11th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And it will be commercial free. Once again, what we're going to do this afternoon is we're going to appeal to you as our loyal listeners that, as you may not be aware, Turning Point Ministries is a self-supporting ministry. But to continue these programs and to continue the live programs especially, we are soliciting the assistance of our listeners. If this program has been a blessing to you, we ask you to give us a call at 322-6273, and we can make any arrangements you need for us to pick up any contribution, or you can email us at P.O. Box N8993. That's September 11th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Tell your friends and your families that Turning Point is having a live program, and we ask you to tune in. If you have any questions or thoughts that you want us to address even before the show, you can give us a call again, like I said, at the numbers mentioned. That is 322-6273, or you can email the questions to tpministries@hotmail.com, or visit our website and leave the questions there. That's www.tpministries.org. Because sometimes some of the questions you listeners have require a little bit of research. So we're asking you, if you think you have one of those type of questions, please give us a call and let us know so that we can research and then present the facts to you as we find it. Before we go on any this afternoon, we're going to apologize that Brother Renrick is not here with us this afternoon. But the show must go on and will go on. So, Brother Paul, do you have anything to say to our listening audience this afternoon?
Well, Brother John, the only thing I'd like to say is we're happy to be speaking to them once again today. We're most thankful and grateful that at this time in our history, we are still breathing the bread of life. And we pray that all is well with you and your families based on all that is taking place. Remember, Jesus says in his word, he will not put more on any of us than what we can bear. We see times begin to move from step to step.
Brother Paul, as you know, aware, last week we started a special feature on the program. And that feature is to deal with issues that come up in the news. Do we have anything that you want to say based on what has happened in the news today for our audience this afternoon?
Well, there's so much to say, Brother Julian. I think we're going to get right into it from the crack of the gun. Based on some of the things we will say, we'll make comments on based on what's going on. There's so many issues. How can one say that the Bible is not true? Just like Jesus and all the apostles and all the disciples and all the prophets penned it, that is just how the world is playing out. The sad part about it is being fulfilled with human beings. Not with the dogs, the cats, the birds, and the bees, but with human beings. Can you believe it? We have come to a point where human beings cannot no longer live among themselves. And believe it or not, if Christ don't come and put an end to all this chaos, I truly believe we will self-destruct. But he is promising his word. Just before the world is about to self-destruct, for the elect's sake, he's going to cut it short in righteousness. You read that Matthew chapter 24.
Like you said, Brother Paul, this program this afternoon is really going to deal with some of those things that are happening. So really and truly today, we didn't have to go into those specifics. But what has happened this week? There were attempted hijacking or blowing up of planes coming from London to the United States. There are a lot of things, war in the Middle East, floods in one places, droughts in others. Based on all the things that are taking place now, Brother Paul, should the Christian be fearful?
No, they should not, Brother Julian. This is a time when the Christians should be rejoicing, because just like Jesus penned it and the apostles and all those penned it, that's just how it's playing out. But the Christians should not be fearful. Why should they not be fearful? Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16 says, "For as many of us that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit," his spirit, I should say, bears witness with our spirit, "that we are the children of God." Isn't that good news? That we can cry, Abba, Father. Our Heavenly Father, listen to us. And by all means, we should be encouraging our friends and our families to come on board, that Christ will give them the same spirit he gave to us, he will also give to them, because he is no respecter of persons, according to Acts chapter 10.
But Brother Paul, there are a lot of things to be fearful for. So are you saying that those who are fearful are not on the Lord's side?
No, they are not. According to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So if your mind is not sound, and if you are fearful, and you're wondering what's going to happen next, the Bible says that spirit is not of God. And remember, we always say in this program, either you're fellowshipping in the light or you're fellowshipping in the darkness. And if you're fellowshipping in the light, Christ said, through his prophet, he have not given us the spirit of fear. More good news coming from the Holy Word today. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
So, Brother Paul, for those who might find themselves in a state of fear, what would happen to them when Jesus returns?
It would not be good. Those who find themselves in a spirit of fear, but also find themselves in the same category of the homosexual, the bank robbers, the lesbianism, whatever the sin might be, they'll find themselves in the same category. And that category means they'll be burned with fire and brimstone. How do I arrive at that? In Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and he will be his God, and God will be their God, and they shall be my son," said God. So the Bible is quite clear that if we inherit all things, then we will be the children of God. Verse 8 says, "But the fearful," those who are fearful of all the things that are coming upon the earth, "the unbelieving," who are not going to believe what the word of God says, "the abominable things, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the adulterers, those who practice in witchcraft, all liars, shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So the Bible is quite clear that if we find ourselves among any of those categories listed in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, we truly will be lost, and we will have our part in the second death, along with the beast and the false prophets, according to Revelation chapter 20.
But Paul, after reading all of those texts, one may be fearful of someone killing them. Should a true Christian be concerned that somebody is going to kill them?
No, they should not. Jesus penned these words in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. He says, "Fear not them which can kill the body, but rather are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And in the same Matthew 10, Jesus says, if he should cease to testify against our men about him, he will not testify against us in the courts of heaven. So that's Matthew 10, 28. Because it's fair not them that can shoot you with a gun or a knife or poison you by food or whatever it might be, but ratify him, and automatically pay reverence to him, which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell, and which when would that take place? When Revelation 20 becomes reality, when all those who are lost will be burned in the lake of fire, and this fire will not be forever and ever like some teach, but the fire will go out, because remember in Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says, the time will come when the meek shall inherit the earth, and it's on planet earth where the fire actually is going to be, according to Revelation chapter 20.
Brother Paul, with all the murders, the fighting, the cheating, the storms, the hurricanes, more and more, people being unfaithful, people not concerned about commandments of God, can you tell us, or does the Bible give us an idea of why the things are the way they are today?
Yes, there is something pending, Brother Julian, but the problem is, do we really want to believe what the Word of God says? Psalms 119, verse 125 to 128, penned these words by the prophet David. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimony. Verse 126 says, and it is time for thee, Lord, to work. Why? For they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments, above gold, yea, above fine gold, says David. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts, and concern all the things be aright. And I hate every false way. Isn't that good news? David came to the point in his life where he wanted understanding from the testimony, from Genesis to Revelation. He didn't want testimony from the gossip of other men's opinion during his day. And he also told the Lord, it's time for you to work, Lord, for they have made void thy law. And that's exactly why things are the way they are, ladies and gentlemen. Because today, people, Christians, I even have to say, have made void the law of God. And today we have chaos all around us. That's the reason why we have chaos, because they have made void the law. It's a spiritual problem. It's not a problem that the government can fix or laws and regulations can fix. The only law that can point out what's wrong is the Ten Commandment law. And the only way we can get power to keep that law, like we said before, and we say again, it's only when you are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ.
Brother Paul, in your studies and in your movement about, and you, as you talk to different Christians around here and even around the world when you travel, what does it seem to you is one law, if there is any law that they overlook? Is there one law that it seems that Christians overlook more than others?
Yes, there is one law, Brother Julian, and that law is the law of the Sabbath commandment. Exodus chapter 20 gives the whole law from top to bottom, written by the finger of God on tables of stone. And that commandment, which is the fourth one, which starts with the word remember, has been forgotten, or maybe a lot of people are not aware of it, so they go on keeping Sunday thinking it's okay. But I have two statements today from the Anglican Church talking about this Sabbath law. The first one is taken from the Manual of Christian Doctrine on page 127. Is there any command in the New Testament to change the day of the weekly rest from Saturday to Sunday? None, the answer was replied. I also have another quote coming from Philip Carrington, the Anglican Archbishop. This quote is coming from, he quoted this to the Toronto Daily Star, October 26, 1949. He says, the Bible commands saying the 7 day thou shalt rest. That is Saturday, he said. Nowhere in the Bible is laid down that worship should be done on Sunday. End of quote. So the Anglican bishop was correct. He said there's nowhere laid down in the scriptures, despite what all men might say. And this commandment, ladies and gentlemen, is one that is overlooked by most of our Christian brothers in radio land today. But the good news is, if you were ignorant of the facts, Christ winked at your ignorance. But the time has come for us to repent. That's what he says in the book of Acts. Repent? Repent from your sins. Most churches believe in the word to repent. And like we said in the past, 1 John 2:3-4 says, hereby we do know. Or hereby I should say, what I should say, 1 John 3:4 says, and if we transgress the commandments of God, we are breaking the commandments of God. And James 2 says, if we are breaking one, we are breaking all. So let us search the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, to see whether those things that we are abiding are true or not. And if they are, let's follow them. If they're not, let's do away with those things.
Why do you think that this commandment is broken or not recognized by many of today's Christians?
I think a lot of our brothers and sisters in radio land have never really paid a close look, Brother Julian. I think a lot of them think that because the majority is doing it, it's going to be all right. Because it's been handed down to them because of their parents and their foreparents, they think it's going to be all right. Well, during that time of ignorance, you know, God looked at it as not being a sin. Because Christ said in his word in John, he said, if you were not showing what you were doing wrong, you would have no sin. But now that you see the facts, your sin remaineth. But the time has come for our brothers and sisters, husbands and fathers and children alike, to sit down and open the Bible and see, and get your historical facts to see, is God really particular about this fourth commandment, like he's concerned about the other three, that points to your relationship between you and God? Is he also concerned about those other six that point forward to you and your fellow men? And indeed, all of us will say, He is concerned. He is concerned about how we treat His commandments. Because by this law, the Apostle Paul says, is the knowledge of sin.
Is there any danger for any of us, Christians alike, to continue to live in sin?
There's great danger. As a matter of fact, Jesus put it this way in Matthew 24, verse 12, and because iniquity should abound, the love of many would wax cold. Did you get that? Iniquity simply means if you continue to abide in your sin, you know that it's wrong, and you continue to sweetheart and lie and hate and break the Sabbath and eat things you know you should not eat. The Bible says this iniquity is abounding everywhere. And because of this, the love of many should wax cold. And surely we can see in Israel and different places around the world, like Brother Julie said earlier in his opening comments, in London, they just had to stop a group of young men who were going to use liquid to blow up planes. It's all because of iniquity. It's a spiritual problem, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't care how many laws the government passed, how many roadblocks he may put in the way, it's going to continue until he that shall come will come and he will not tarry, because there will be no peace until the King of Peace.
Is there any danger in participating in iniquity?
There's great danger. As a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22-24, Saul and Samuel had the problem with this. In the day of Samuel, Samuel said, had the Lord had great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, he said, is to obey then better than the sacrifice, and to hearken unto the fat of rams. So Samuel told Saul that if you would obey the word of the Lord, there'd be no need for a sacrifice. And surely today, if you and I will continue to obey the word of the Lord, there'll be no need for us to always going to be asking the Lord to forgive us for something we continue to do over and over and over and over. The time is going to come when Christ is not going to be forgiving us anymore. We always tell you that the time will come when Christ is going to stand up and our sins will be ours to keep. Verse 23, he continues, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness and iniquity as an iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he will also reject thee from being king. So the Bible says, when you and I have a rebellious spirit, we are then partaking in witchcraft. We don't have to go to the Obey man or to the Obey lady. Once we have a rebellious spirit, the Bible says, we are practicing witchcraft. That's 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. And once we are stubborn, we then take on the attitude of iniquity and even idolatry, because we want to reject the word of the Lord. So Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned and I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy word. Why? Because he feared the people and obeyed their voice. And how many of us today are obeying the voice of someone else over the voice of God?
But Paul, one of the things that a lot of people have joined today and continue to join are unions. What does the Bible have to say about Christians being partners with unions?
Well, the Bible is quite clear. What fellowship of light have to do with darkness? The unions today are bringing a big chaos upon the world all around. We can see these unions are holding the people of God hostage. Just past week, the BEC union kicked up a flare and the lights were going off and on, off and on, off and on. Why? Because they say they want their money. Well, it's not their money, it's God's money. And Jesus says this to the union members and to all people alike in Matthew 6, 33 and 34. It's a familiar text quoted by most Christians, but have they really took time to study it to see if they truly are standing based on God's word? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that are needed shall be added unto you, union workers, those who are participating in the union. And verse 34, Jesus says, this is Jesus speaking, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take care of itself. Sufficient today is the evil thereof. So Jesus is quite clear, union members, Bohemians, Christians, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things that are needed shall be added unto you. There will not be a lack. God does not lie, according to Titus chapter 1, verse 3. We are dealing with a God that cannot lie. And if he penned it, surely he can stand by what he penned, because he is the one that created everything on planet Earth. Even in you and I, he did that. But he stooped in the ground, the Bible says, and formed us from the dust of the ground. He formed Adam, that is. And like today, all of us are descendants of Adam and Eve. And that's why we live and move today and have our beings.
But some people might say that without the unions, they wouldn't have a job, or their job would not be secure. And thereby they won't have not sufficient money to buy things for their family and their children and stuff like that.
It may be because they don't realize what the word of God said. It's full of promises, Brother Julian. In Psalms chapter 37, verse 25 to 29, David laid down a wonderful promise here. David says, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Isn't that good news? David said, first he was young, then he became old. And during both processes, during the young and the old, he have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Meaning that even the people who are adults in David's day their children were not even have to beg for bread. And then David continues, he said, he is very merciful, and learned, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, David said, and dwell therein forever. Isn't that good news? But the problem is we don't want the good news of the gospel. We want to try to twist the government arm. And I'm telling you, if the government is mistreating you, you better treat the government right, because the Bible is quite clear. If the government is mistreating you, the government will be lost. And guess what? You will be lost also. The Bible is quite clear. Do good to your enemies. Treat them with respect and love and show kindness. And how is this possible? Only when you and I are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Remember, the flesh wants to fight against the flesh, but the spirit is much more powerful than the flesh. So once we are in the spirit, we're going to tell the government, mistreat as much as you want. I have a word from the Lord. If you die mistreating me, Mr. Government, or Mrs. Government, whoever it may be sure your sins will find you out. But remember, it's on the opposite side also. If you mistreat the government, or if you try to shut the country down because you want to take matters into your own hand, remember, if you die in your sins, you too will be in the fire with the government.
Brother Paul, one of the things that go around that we see with most Christians is we all want to call ourselves saints. How do we know when we are saints?
It's penned in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. It says, and here are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. How is it possible for them to be saints? They will operate in the faith of Jesus Christ. And through them operating in the power and the faith of Jesus Christ, they were able to keep all 10 of God's commandments. Listen, Exodus chapter 20. And the good news is, if they continue to abide in Christ and continue to operate in the faith of Christ, verse 5 of the same chapter says, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they were outfall before the throne of God. In other words, if they be placed downtown Russell Square, no one will be able to bring an accusation against them that will cause them to be guilty before God and before earth. That's where Christ wants to bring us, ladies, and it is possible once you and I continue to be where Jesus wants us to be, in his presence, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
When one becomes a saint, will all be well with them? Will there be no more strife and problems and things like that?
No, there will be much strife. As a matter of fact, this is when the problem actually begins. This is when the battle really, really comes home to each of us. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17 says, and the dragon, which was wrought with the woman, and went to make more with the remnant of the seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The dragon? Who's the dragon? Just a few verses up, in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 12, it says, and the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, and he was cast into the earth, and his angel were cast out with him. So the Bible is quite clear in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, that the devil is angry with God's people, according to the woman, and he went to make war with them, especially the remnant, the last portion of God's people who are on planet earth. And why was he angry with them? Because they kept the commandments of God and they had the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So if you are standing in the presence of Christ today, if you are lining up yourself upon his word from Genesis to Revelation, be assured the devil is on your track. Why? Revelation again says, because he know he have it but a short time.
Can one be a child of God and outrightly break the commandments of God?
No, they cannot. Jesus penned it this way, that you, if you and I are outrightly breaking the commandments of God or following traditions, we cannot be children of God. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus says, but he answered and said unto him in that day, why do you transgress the commandments of God but your tradition? Like Sunday worship, most Christians will tell you Sunday worship is a tradition. And because you are following a tradition, Jesus says, you are transgressing the commandments of God. Verse 8 of Matthew chapter 15, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, Christ said, and honor me with their lips. But their heart, in other words, but their mind is far from me. In verse 9 he says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So Christ said they are worshiping. But how are they worshiping? They are worshiping him in vain. Why? Because they are teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's Matthew chapter 15, verse 9.
Based on all that is taking place, it seems as if God has forsaken this earth. Has he forsaken this earth?
No, Brother Julian, the time has not come yet for Christ to forsake the earth. According to Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to 4, the Bible says, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds from the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any trees. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom were given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the tree, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And the number of them that were sealed were 144,000, all the tribe of Israel. Today, ladies and gentlemen, you and I can be spiritual Israel. The Bible is quite clear. When you and I accept Christ as our personal Savior, we become a part of Israel. The true Israel is not those that are in the Middle East, but all children of God who have totally surrendered their lives to Christ are the children of Israel today. Spiritual Israel, that is. And the Bible says angels are right now holding back the winds of strife. And because they are holding back the winds of strife, the Bible is quite clear that nothing can happen to the earth in its fullest until Christ uphold or withdraw his angels from holding the earth.
When the order is given by God for the four angels to cease holding back the winds of strife, as you talk about, what would it be like?
It would not be good, Brother Julian. And this is going to be a wind that was never witnessed on planet Earth. And I assure you, during this time, no one will want to be hid in any country because it's going to be total chaos, according to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. At that time, Micah should stand up. That great prince will stand up for the children of thy people. And there should be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that same time. And at that time, thy people should be delivered. That's good news. Everyone that is found written in the book of life. Are you in the book of life today? That's the only time we're going to be delivered. Daniel is quite clear. In verse 2 of Daniel 12, he says that many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame and contempt. And the Bible says that during that time, only God's children who are written in the book of life surely will be delivered. The question is, are your name written in the book of life today? If it is not, the time has come for it to be written there before it is a day too late.
Thank you, Brother Paul. And we want to say we come to an end of another program. And we just want to remind our listeners that September 11th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., we have a live call-in show, and our topic will be on the Sabbath. For those who want to assist Turning Point in their ministry, in their radio ministry, we're asking you to give us a call at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O Lord, for another opportunity and privilege for us to come before you. Cleanse our hearts and our minds, O God, as we come before you. Lord, we know once again that we've heard some things that might seem to be difficult, but we ask you to give us that power and strength to study, to ensure that what we heard was true. Give us the power and the strength, O God, to move in the direction that you would want us to move in. Is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.